Did you know that during the month of July, you can receive 6 Archbooks for children on the best love parables of Jesus for less than $10? Find out more about this 6-book series, The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, for children ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Best Loved Parables of Jesus, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed.
One of the most interesting stories in the Old Testament about one guy, a prophet, who does what, well, I dare say no other prophet in the Old Testament does. He disobeys God. Most of the prophets that we hear, except for the false prophets, most of the prophets that we hear about, that we read the writings of in the Old Testament, the Lord speaks and they speak, and the Lord commands them and they do it, sometimes very unusual things. But Jonah is, in that sense, unique. He acts an awful lot like a false prophet. He disobeys God, and yet God, by hook or crook, gets him back on track to Nineveh. But even to the end of this book, that is so beloved by the Sunday school teachers, even to the end of this book, Jonah really begrudges God his generosity and his mercy. We're going to tell the story of Jonah with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, July the 7th. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Let's cut to the chase on this one. Where are we going to find Jesus in Jonah's story?
You're going to find Jesus because, as one of your guests said in an earlier interview you had some weeks ago, the Bible is not about Jesus. The Bible is actually Jesus speaking to us. So that when Jonah hears from God, the voice of God, of course, remember, in the beginning was the Word, and he created by saying, let there be light. This is none other than Jesus himself asking Jonah to go ahead and do a mission that he's going to do. So Jesus, every time you see the word Lord, you can pretty well understand that to be referring to none other than Jesus himself, because that's the word Yahweh given to Moses on Mount Sinai when Jesus, the angel of the Lord, was speaking to him from the burning bush.
So the story of Jonah begins with Jonah, this prophet, called by the Lord to go to Nineveh. Should we note here at the very beginning, Tom, that what the Lord intends to do, and we find out in the end, is actually show mercy to this great city?
The reason that's such a surprise is the Ninevites were terrible enemies against Israel. And so it would be like somebody coming to us today and saying, you know, I got a word from the Lord that you have to go and speak to those Muslims who are very radical in their beliefs and killing Christians and ask them to repent of it so they can be saved. I once had a member of the congregation who had been accosted by two men, and it was really difficult for her to forgive. So when I read Jonah saying no to the Lord, and you were correct, Jonah is the only true prophet who refused to do God's will. All the other prophets did, but Jonah did not. And it reminds me of that lady who had such a difficult time in being able to forgive those who had done her damage. And in the same case, you can only imagine that maybe Jonah knew of some relatives that had been killed by the Ninevites, and now God is telling him to go to help save them. In fact, the lady in my congregation did not talk to me about her experience until her mother sent me, and I asked her, why did it take so long to come and speak to me? She says, I was afraid you would go talk to these men. They would repent and go to heaven. I wanted them to go to hell. And this is the attitude of Jonah toward the Ninevites.
So Jonah's refusal to obey God is precisely because he knows God, at least in this case, well, actually in every case, is quite capable and liable to be merciful to the Ninevites.
It's kind of interesting. We use this in our liturgy about that God is merciful and gracious and this sort of thing. When Jonah used it, he used it as a reason for not wanting to go to Nineveh because God is like that. It's just really kind of ironic how he uses a passage talking about how merciful and gracious God is as a reason for not going to people that he hated, whereas we use it in the liturgy as a motivation for us to tell everybody about Jesus Christ.
Jonah doesn't just refuse to go where God sends him. He goes someplace else, or at least he intends to go someplace else. Why does he flee? Does he think he can get away from God?
He's probably like Adam and Eve after they sinned. Remember, they went to hide in the bushes where God was. There's no place that God is not in his omnipresence. And so when you're that angry at God and when you're refusing to do his will do very foolish things. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that instead of going east where he's supposed to go to Nineveh, he intends to travel 500 miles west. And, of course, he doesn't make it.
The story is well known. God himself throws a tremendous storm at the boat in which Jonah is attempting to flee, leading, of course, to some terror on the part of the sailors. Pick it up there. What happens to Jonah? Why does he end up, as everybody knows, why does he end up in the belly of the great fish?
More than once, at least four times, it is very clear that the Lord has something happen. He does it in order to make sure that his will is going to take place. For example, the first thing he does, as you said, he hurls a great wind upon the sea. Now, the sailors, all who have different gods, are trying to figure out which one of them is being punished. So they throw lots, and it says very clearly that the lot fell on Jonah. There again, God is even in control of the dice, so to speak, so that Jonah is the one. Now, what is really ironic here is once the servants understand that the God of Jonah is angry with him, you would think they would want to throw him overboard without him even saying they should. But instead, look how different they are. They try and row to the shore so they don't have to kill Jonah. In contrast to Jonah, not even wanting to go to Nineveh, desiring that they would all die. Well, they finally ask Jonah, well, what is going to save the boat? And Jonah said, well, if you throw me overboard, then the tempest that has come upon you will be stilled. And they feared the Lord exceedingly, and they therefore threw Jonah overboard. At which time, God prepared. Now, there's another thing that God prepared ahead of time. And it says a great fish. This is not necessarily the word for whale, although I don't have a problem thinking it was a whale, because a man off the coast of Britain once was swallowed by a whale, and they captured the whale, and he was still alive when they finally got to him. But some people say the whale's gullet is so small. But we're talking about God here. Who knows what other large fish could be in the ocean, and it would be no problem for God to have such a fish prepared to receive Jonah.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on this Monday afternoon, July the 7th, talking about the prophet Jonah and his story, finding Christ there in Jonah's story. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Find out more about Law and Gospel by going to our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there. Stay tuned. Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education, July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the prophet Jonah, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on this Monday afternoon, July the 7th. Tom, we often get caught up in the fact that Jonah survives being thrown overboard and then 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish. And as you said before the break, let's kind of remind ourselves here that we're dealing with God, so these things should not surprise us at all, although they do attract our attention. One of the most surprising things in the book of Jonah that often doesn't get discussed is Jonah's prayer. While he is those 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, he has a prayer which in itself is remarkable. What can you tell us about it?
What's so remarkable about this is that it is very close to really what we're talking about with Jesus also. What I mean by that is when people talk about the sign of Jonah, they often just minimize it to refer to the number of days Jonah was in the fish or Jesus was in the tomb. But the real sign that Jesus, I believe, is pointing to is that both were under the Father's judgment and the Father's salvation. In other words, it's a paradox that both Jonah and Jesus go through judgment and condemnation. The judgment is Jonah being swallowed by the fish for his disobedience, Jesus being condemned by the Father and forsaken by the Father on the cross, and both, in a sense, died. Jonah speaks about kind of being in hell itself, Sheol, the place of dead. He has no hope. But Jesus also dies. So when we talk about the sign of Jonah, I think we need to be more forecasting on the fact that what Jesus went through is what Jonah went through. And the 3 days, yes, that's important because Jesus even mentions it. But the real theological point is the judgment, condemnation, death, and then life. In Jonah's case, being spit up on the beach. In Jesus' case, being going through the open tomb.
One of the weird things about Jonah, well, there's more to say about Jonah in a few minutes because his heart's hardly in, even after he's delivered from the belly of the fish, his heart really isn't in what he's gone to do, what God has commanded him to do. But one of the remarkable things about his prayer is he prays as though he's already been spit out. He's in the belly of the fish, but he's praying as though his life has already been saved. Again and again and again, he says, I prayed and you heard me. You saved me. I was dying and you saved me. I was dead and you raised me. Why does he pray this way, Tom?
He prays this way, I believe, especially in verse 7. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. It's almost like he's saying that he's going to again be seeing the temple. And therefore, with the voice of thanksgiving, with sacrifice to you, what I have vowed I will pay, salvation belongs to the Lord. So it appears that the Holy Spirit is moving Jonah to recognize that the mission upon which God called him, he will be fulfilling. And therefore, that's why it's such a positive prayer from within the belly of the fish.
After he is deposited back on the dry land, he does go to Nineveh. What happens then, Tom?
Todd, you began today's broadcast asking, and it was just general, whether such a sermon could have the effect it did. And when I heard that, I thought you were talking about the sermon by Jonah, but you were actually talking about the sermon not by Jonah, but by Jonathan Edwards. I believe that that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, pales into insignificance in contrast to Jonah's sermon, which was Sinners in the Hands of a Merciful God. This sermon, the results of it, are so miraculous. This is a very comforting passage for pastors and also for Sunday school teachers. Can you only imagine Jonah preaching this sermon? Now, he was faithful in the Lord said, you will tell people what I tell you to say. And they're not repeated what the words were outside. Within 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed unless you repent. What other words, we don't know. I would have loved to have heard them. But you can only hear Jonah not talking like, oh, you Ninevites, the Lord is calling you. He's merciful. Repent. No, it would be something instead like this. You better repent or in 40 days, you know, you're going to be overthrown. And it would have been a monotone. There would have been no enthusiasm. But you see, the reason it worked is because it was the word which God gave to Nineveh. And then you can only remember those verses, that my word shall never return empty. This is Isaiah 55. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Early in my ministry, I had the tendency when people would walk out and say, that was a great sermon, Pastor Tom. And I would say, what part did you like best? And then they would say something either that I couldn't remember I said or was like point C, D, or E, not the main point at all. And I soon quit asking that question because I saw that God used sermons in various ways to help the people where they were at. And I really wasn't in charge even of the Word of God and its effect when I preached from the pulpit.
Is there something to note here? I'm looking at verse 5 of chapter 3 in Jonah. Jonah goes around the city. He preaches this simple warning, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But the response of the people is this. The people of Nineveh believed God. It doesn't say they believed Jonah.
Yes.
It says they believed God. Does that alone tell us what you were just saying here, that it was God doing this all along? Jonah, not particularly enthusiastic about his job, and his heart is not in it, but it doesn't impede God speaking through him to the Ninevites.
Well said, because in verse 2, God says specifically, call out against Nineveh the message that I tell you. In fact, how many times have you and I had the privilege of, after hearing the confession of sins, we give the absolution? Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God, and I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The people do not rise up and say, we all believe Pastor Tom. No, they say, we believe God, because I am just the mouthpiece for the promises from God. And that's all that Nineveh was also. That's why the church has always taught, even if the pastor is an unbeliever, and nobody knows that, you don't have to worry about the Lord's Supper or baptism, because the validity of the baptism and the Lord's Supper is not found in the faith of the pastor or the faith of the Sunday school teacher, but in the word shared. And if it's God's word, it will not return empty.
And that word, in the case of Jonah speaking it, brings about among the Ninevites the most extreme form of repentance I think we ever see in the Old Testament. It's not just fasting for the people. It's fasting for all their livestock, too. It's not just sackcloth and ashes for their people. Every living creature is clothed in sackcloth during this time of repentance, praying that God would relent and not bring this disaster. What should we note there with about a minute before we take our break?
I believe that Luther's small catechism, particularly the third article, I cannot, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, called me by the word of God, and therefore what we have here is the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, when we leave church and hear the wonderful good news of the forgiveness of sins, yes, there may be some things the church has asked us to do, like maybe give a little bit more an offering or help out. But boy, when we see our neighbor in need, we even go further there. So it doesn't surprise me that through the power of the Holy Spirit, these people have so seen their sickness of sin and how merciful God is that they're trying every way to give him thanks and praise, which is, of course, the way we worship God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're going through a Sunday school lesson on this Monday, July the 7th, talking about the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. And you can find out more about Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Lord. Now Jonah starts to pray in the belly of the whale.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
He repented of his sins like a man in jail.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Producing 10 hours of live talk radio every week from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. 618-670-6952.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the prophet Jonah teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on this Monday afternoon, July the 7th. Tom, back to the story of Jonah. After the people repent, Jonah is, it says, exceedingly displeased and angry. And the first thing he does is he prays that God would take his life. What's that about?
When one is in such despair that you feel that your whole reason for being on earth has become a failure. He wanted Nineveh destroyed, and instead, because of him, it was saved. And the old Adam becomes so strong then that people, if they don't commit actual suicide, they commit definitely spiritual suicide. And so he's angry at God because, remember, there was a prophecy that Jonah gave. Within 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed, and it didn't come about. You know, you wonder, boy, how many other prophecies in the Bible are there that don't come about? But if you look at the context, that was going to come about if the people did not repent. And by God's mercy, they did repent. So we can make prophecies even today. We can say to someone who's an unbeliever, I prophesy that if you don't come to faith, you will not be saved. And that prophecy is as true as was Jonah's. But if the person comes to faith, wow. If there's one thing I've learned reading the book of Jonah, Jesus here is saying no one is unsavable. So you should always make the effort with the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to take over.
He essentially repeats back to God what God has said about himself in the Old Testament, in particular, when he gave the law to Moses. And it's amazing how true to the actual words he is. He says, look, this is what I told you was going to happen, God, because I know that you are slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Talk about those words, if you would.
Yes. Now, strangely enough, this is not really part of the Sunday school lesson. They don't put chapter 4, but I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to do that, because this is something that is part of the liturgy, that God is a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. We say it, as I said earlier, with a very positive note, because we love such a God. Jonah said it with a very negative note, because he said, you know, I knew you to be this way, and therefore you really are not just. It was the same attack that the unbelieving Pharisees gave against Jesus, that it was not just that he should forgive the sins of prostitutes, tax collectors, and other sinners. And the Pharisees said, thank God I'm not like those people, because look, I follow the ceremonial laws. And we Christians can fall into that, and we need to help our children see that they don't think they're better than other people simply because maybe they're a Christian. But God is using them as the opportunity to share that message with their friends, maybe inviting them to Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, and so forth.
Now, you said earlier that there are points here in the book where God appoints something. There was an east wind, there was a great fish, and now there's a plant and a worm and another wind, but to a different effect. Tell us the rest of the story.
The only time that Jonah is happy is in chapter 4, verse 7. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant, because it shaded him from the hot sun. But then, after God appointed the plant, then in the next verse, verse 8, he appointed a scorching east wind. And God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And then God says, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? I'm somewhat convinced that the 120,000 who don't know their right from their left are children. And if you remember, Nineveh was 8 miles wide. It was a three-day journey. And Jonah wasn't even done the first day of journeying when the whole town came to faith, which is something else I think we need to remember. When I preach to the congregation, there are people they're going to be talking to, And who knows how many more people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of what they heard in a Bible study and in a sermon, even though they've never met the pastor. So there's a good example of how God made sure the word just spread throughout the community as people on the first day heard Noah, then, I'm sorry, Jonah. I always get those two mixed up. And then went ahead and shared it with others, and they came to faith.
So God is saying to Jonah, in effect, look, you have pity for this little plant that you had nothing to do with.
Yes.
And I am so merciful that I am merciful to all these many Ninevites who do not know me. What picture of God emerges for both Jonah? We don't know how things went with him because the story just drops off there. But what picture of God emerges from this story for us and for the Sunday school kids?
Every time you're wondering what picture emerges, you need to go long gospel-wise back to being a theologian of the cross. And you hear the words from the cross, the very same Jesus who said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing," is the same Jesus who encouraged Jonah to be his spokesperson to these Ninevites, for they too needed the forgiveness of sins. And by the way, from a historical point of view, it appeared that God finally did destroy Nineveh, but it was over 100 years after this, after what it appears that all the believing Ninevites had died, and Nineveh had returned to its former horrors. But at this point, these were people of God.
With only a minute here, Tom, how would you describe the law and gospel of the story of the prophet Jonah? About a minute before we wrap it up.
I would say, first of all, that Jonah was really confused on law and gospel, thinking that he was a Hebrew, and therefore he was right with God. These people were Gentiles who were at war with the people of God. He did not feel it proper that they should have been told anything. But from a proper law and gospel, God has a primary purpose for the law, and that's to bring people to awareness of their sinfulness, so that they need to turn outside of themselves to the Savior, who is the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is what happened when they heard the words that God told Jonah to speak to them. They came to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was a beautiful law and gospel message.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll have Tom lead us in a Sunday school lesson on John the Baptist. Tom, talk to you next week.
Thank you, Todd.
We base our conversations with Pastor Baker on a great Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Now, what it does, this curriculum does, is it finds Christ everywhere he can be found in the Bible, Old and New Testament, which is everywhere. Even Jesus says that the story of Jonah was not only about Jonah. It was not only about the Ninevites. It was about someone greater than Jonah, not a reluctant prophet, but a willing sacrifice who would go and fulfill all those things that it meant when God says he is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You'll find this in every single lesson of Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can get a free sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Gretchen Passantino about the Baha'i faith and the martyrdom of their prophet called the Bob. We'll also get Jennifer Oback Morse's reaction to actress Cameron Diaz. She has recently made a statement about the burden of children, how glad she is to be free of it. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse has to say about that tomorrow on the program. God is always out to show himself more merciful than we could possibly imagine, because he is more merciful than we could possibly imagine. We think we know God's mercy. It's been shown to us. We think we know God's mercy, and yet we always put a limit on it. Jonah did. We do as well. Every man who speaks the word of God, sadly, would put his own limit on the mercy of God, but God, his mercy is limitless. He did not limit himself to those for whom Christ shed his blood, the sacrifice that wins salvation for all, and his mercy knows no bounds. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Word of God does what it says. Language is not a barrier to God's Word. Culture is not a barrier to God's Word.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Am I saying that we shouldn't pay attention to these things? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we should stop believing that those things are what matter. What matters is the content of Holy Scripture. The New Testament and what it has to do with us is not a problem of our linguistics today. It's a problem of our faith that the Word of God is actually there to be believed.
You can listen to Pastor Fisk's presentation and teachings by Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Chris Roseborough, Will Wheaton, and Al Schmidt on an audio DVD from the 2014 Making the Case Conference. For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.